And we are back here our extra hour today because of primary day in Ohio, although it is not. So just remember that it is not primary day. Don't go out and vote. But we're still talking politics and having a good time with our guest this morning, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, I want to talk about two things that have nothing to do with anything we've talked about this morning. Because here's one thing because we've stayed on the air during this coronavirus with everything shutting down, and our audience have been larger because there's no sports on television. People aren't going anywhere.
There's nothing else to do.
Nothing else to do. So you might as well listen to us. And I think we still got to laugh. We still got to, you know, if we lose our ability to laugh at things,
right,
we're going to be in trouble. And two things I want to talk about. One funny, but one just a happy thing. We'll start with the funny thing. The last time you and I were together was at Stewart's Root Beer. This is about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we had set the remote up. Because it was Stewart's grand opening for their 95th season. And we went over, and everybody I know at Stewart's was excited to have you there. They had not met you. And we go in, and unfortunately that day was about 20 degrees. And we did the remote, and of course the inside of Stewart's, people go out, the car hops go in and out, so the door is opening and closing, and it was just cold. But boy, you were a trooper that night. You stuck it out.
I did, and I didn't get sick. I was fine.
Oh, I was worried. There was ice on the ground and snow and everything.
Yeah.
And the funny story of that whole night, and I've told it, it was one of the oddest moments, because I laughed on the air about it, and people were wondering why I was laughing. What happened that night was we were seated inside, and it's not a big lobby. And it was me, and then you were beside me, and Sean, who was running the board, was on the opposite side of you, and Michelle, who owns Stewart's, was behind the counter. And you and Sean were talking to Michelle and had your back to me, which is no problem, and I was doing the broadcast, and I noticed that we were having some technical difficulties, and I could not get Sean's attention. And I'm trying to wave without saying anything on the air. And I finally said to Sean, I had to say something because it was going on for like a minute and a half. And I said, pay attention. And you turned to me and looked at me. And everybody in the restaurant thought that I had barked orders at you to pay. And I was talking to Sean. So now I get this thing that I had barked at you at Stewart's.
Well, I didn't. All I knew was that something happened there, and I didn't realize what was going on. It was one of my blank moments.
Well, you were having a conversation with Michelle,
yeah,
and it was
right.
But it was a funny moment.
Uh huh. It was, and those things happen probably to you on the air once in a while, don't they?
Well, you know, the funny thing about being live is you don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody will say something.
Oh, sure. I've said a few things. I know.
Well,
you know, you have to be careful what you say on the air.
Well, I'll tell you something funny, and I think I've told you this before, but when you first came back to Marion, which has been about 8 years ago now?
No, it's nine.
Nine years?
Yeah, 9 years.
You were doing a weekly segment with me at that point where you would come in and we would talk about politics or whatever was going on.
Yep.
And I remember one segment early on, somehow we got on the topic of driving in Washington, D.C. And you were telling the story about driving in Washington, D.C. And we were on the air, and you were talking about how somebody had said a word to you.
Yes.
And you said the word.
Oh, did I? And you're not supposed to say that.
No, you can say that word.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can.
Well, you know, they gave me the finger, and then they called me that word, and I didn't even know what I'd done wrong. That's what was so bad.
Well, what was so funny about that whole situation was that you can say that word. We're talking about the B word, you know, female dog. That's the word. And so just to make sure what you were called so people don't think it's any awful word.
Yeah,
but when you said that word, it was just so strange because I'd never heard you say a word like that.
No, and I don't usually. Yeah,
and it was just one of those things. But you do that on the air. Everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, somebody said a word that you can't say on the air.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we caught it.
Yeah.
In time.
Yeah.
But it's live. What can you do?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, you're used to thinking of what you're trying to tell about, and sometimes it involves things that maybe you shouldn't say on the air, and it's hard to keep your mind on the right direction there sometimes.
Well, the thing that bothers me sometimes is that I don't mind hearing from people after an interview, but I don't like when they come back and say, could you take that out?
Oh,
That drives me nuts because...
Yeah. You can't do that?
You don't want to. Because what I always tell people is that these... Because I think the appeal of broadcast to newspaper is that we don't edit. What you say is what you say.
Yeah.
And if I go back and edit, then I can't say that.
Yes,
I take out an answer.
Right.
Now, one time, I wonder if I can tell this story. I'll tell it quick. And I'm not going to tell you who it is because even though she's no longer with us, I don't want to violate it. But we were doing an interview. It was taped. And she admitted to being an atheist.
Oh, that would be a shocker.
It was.
Yeah.
It shocked me.
Yeah.
But the interview was taped, and then that night I got an email from her saying...
She was no longer an atheist.
Well, she was still an atheist, but she didn't want the world to know that she was an atheist. And because she was a member of a church.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. And it was a well-known person in Marion.
Oh, really?
Now, she's going on to her reward now, so she's no longer with us.
Yeah.
But I took that out because I thought it didn't have anything to do with the interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if she didn't want people to know, that's her business.
Yeah.
But I hate when people say, take the question. Like, if it was a pertinent question, I don't like that.
You know what bothers me is when I hear, like, Ron Reagan talk about being an atheist and keeping church and state separate. I think we should keep church and state separate. But when he says he's an atheist, I think, what's wrong with him, you know?
You know, atheism is a very... odd thing. It seems to be on the rise in younger people, and I'm not sure why.
Really? That sounds bad. Yeah.
Well, speaking of this coronavirus and religion, I could not believe the church services on Sunday that were down. I saw a picture from St. Mary's where it was very slim pickings on Sunday.
Well, my church was closed.
Was it closed?
Yeah, it's closed for 2 weeks, waiting to see what happens. Yeah,
that is unprecedented.
Yes, and it's close to Easter, which makes it difficult.
Well, I wonder what these churches will do about collection.
Yes, well, immediately on my email, it said, you can still contribute.
Well, there you go. There's always a way.
Yeah, right.
In the internet world, there's always a way. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and see, I'm not going to do this like all print media does to you, but you do have a big birthday coming up this year.
Oh, yeah, and I'm going to have a big party.
That's what I say. What's going to this October?
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to have a party.
Well, I remember your last seminal birthday. I came to that party.
Yes, my zero party.
Yes, your zero party.
When you have a zero, it's big time. Yeah.
Well, and this is another zero, so it's been 10 years since that party.
Right.
I have a picture at home of me and you and Francis Strickland from that party.
Okay.
So it was a fun party.
It was. It was.
I remember that.
Yeah. George Kasotis was the one that started it.
Or was he the one?
He did all the work.
I remember they had gotten bumper stickers from your runs.
Yeah.
And I remember... Francis Strickland, who was the first lady of Ohio, came at that time.
Right. Well, Ted couldn't come. He was campaigning,
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He would have been there. Yeah.
And I remember Norma Jacob. This name sticks out in my mind. Was there.
Yeah.
Because I believe Norma, I don't think she'll mind me saying this, but I believe Norma just turned 98
She's way up there. Yeah. Yeah, but she's doing great.
Doing okay from what I understand.
She's doing great.
Ran into her daughter-in-law. But so the big zero birthday this year, what do you foresee?
I don't know. I'm just going to let my family do whatever they want to.
Well, it should be, that should be a lot of fun.
Yes, I hope so. You know, anytime, it is a big deal because I never thought I'd get to be 90, you know, and so here I am almost there.
Well, and anybody who sees you and knows you, I mean, you certainly don't look 90, whatever 90 is supposed to look like, but you don't have really any health issues that that we're going to talk about here.
No, I'm doing. I don't want to brag because I'm knocking on wood.
Here. Knock on wood.
Yeah, right.
But did your mother and father have long lives?
No. Well, my mother lived to be 80, but my father died when he was 64. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've beat everybody in my family. Nobody's lived this long.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had a brother. He was 9 years older than me, and he died when he was 70-some, late 70s, yeah.
What do you attribute this to? Have you had a diet or an exercise routine? Or?
No, I don't know, but my mother gave me cod liver oil pills when I was a child every day. And I really credit those cod liver oil pills to this. And that's fish oil, you know, if you want to.
Well, it's funny to bring up because, and we've talked about this, I think, since you were in office when we were doing interviews back then. Why do they always print your age?
I don't know, but they just get a lot of joy out of it.
I don't know. Even this past year, when they named the schools after you, it was funny because I saw the article, which got picked up by the AP, I think, and there it was, Mary Ellen Withrow, comma, age.
Yes, right.
But they don't do that to everybody.
No, they don't. I think I'm the only one they do it to, because I will look at other articles. They don't have their age in there, and can't answer why, but maybe they're just fascinated with my age. I don't know.
I don't know what that is attributed to, but it's interesting, I guess. It's an interesting phenomenon.
Yes, right.
What kind of things at this point do you get asked to do because of the life you've led? Obviously, documentary, schools named after you this past year.
Yes, well, I'm still asked to speak at different organizations. I think I've spoken to every organization in Marion County, but and I think the things that I'm asked to do are probably going to be canceled. I was asked to speak at the honorary the students that had their honorary degree from the county, all the county schools. I bet it will be canceled probably. And I was asked to speak to a group, a religious group from one of the churches, and I think that'll probably be canceled too. Probably, you know, I figure that things are going to be just a lot different. But and I'm home a lot more. I'm staying home, and my lifestyle is a lot different than it was, say, a week ago.
I can imagine. Yeah. So, what have you taken any precautions because of this coronavirus?
No, I just I've stayed home. And what else can I do? You know,
when you speak to a young group, what message do you like to leave with them?
Well, any young group, I was going to talk to them about attitude. You have to have, it's what your attitude is in life, and how it can make a difference whether, you know, what direction you go, your attitude, whether you take things that your opportunities that come to you, because so many times we have opportunities and we don't realize they're an opportunity. And you say no to it, and if you had said yes, it would have opened up another whole area to you that you didn't have before. I've seen this, and it happened in my life. And you know, I had certain rules on what I would listen to, whether I would accept that as something I wanted to do, or whether I just said, no, I don't want to go that direction. And so all of that is so important with young people, is their attitude about life and the acceptance of doing things that maybe are very, very difficult, but it's good as it'll cause you to grow in your acceptance of what your life's going to be.
Was there an event in your life that you consider to be the fork in the road?
There were several. I always felt that I should be in an office just long enough to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish, and then I would think about another direction. And when I started, I had no idea that this would be the way it was. When I ran for school board, I had no idea that I would ever run for anything else. And it was when I was at the License Bureau that I realized I loved taking care of other people's money. And that's when I decided that's the direction I wanted to go. And so the money was fascinating to me, how you could protect other people's money.
You know, we've talked about birthdays and seminal moments, and I watched a show over the weekend that I thought was interesting about how, because people are living longer now, mm-hmm. a lot of people are at ages that used to be, boy, you know, retirement, and I'm just not going to do anything.
Right.
But sometimes they're just starting their second act. And I got to thinking, you were treasurer of the United States, probably the highest honor you had in your career, at an age when a lot of people are retired.
Right. I was 64 when I was sworn in, and I was there for 7 years, and I didn't want to quit. You know, I wanted to keep going. But unfortunately, I had to quit, but it was a good thing for my health, really, because I was worn out. I was just worn out at the end of that.
What were your hours like with that? I don't think we ever talked about that.
Yeah, I tell you, I just went night and day and weekends, and you just, it was so demanding. And really, the thing that made it, I guess, more demanding toward the end was because I was also campaigning for Al Gore, and along with doing my job, and so all of that, I was really tired when I left office, but I was tired and depressed.
Mm. Well, that was the rough election.
Yeah.
When you were out campaigning for Al Gore, what was the feedback when you would go to rallies?
Well, it was mostly in Ohio, and I would I had good feedback. Yeah, I had good feedback. It was just the fact that he won the popular vote and lost the electoral vote, and I still think we should go to the popular vote, because that's what matters in this world. Is every I like to see every vote counted, and it isn't when it's this way.
I mean, Hillary Clinton would feel that way.
Yes,
at this
she
point.
Probably feels the same way, yeah. And I can't imagine how she's felt these years since 2016, losing. That election would have been terrible. Mm. Yeah,
it was certainly a pivotal election. We are in the election year now. Do you think this election will be as nasty as that one? That was a pretty bad one.
I think it's going to be nasty, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no other way. It's bound to be.
If you are a Joe Biden and you do get the nomination, there are three, I think, former living Democratic presidents, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Do you have them out campaigning for you? Are they good or bad for you?
Well, I'd want everybody campaigning for me if it was me. I think that Al Gore would have won if he'd had Clinton campaigning for him. He was upset with him because of the Monica Lewinsky situation, and I think he would have won if he'd let Clinton campaign.
Why do you think that weighed on Al Gore so heavily?
Oh, he was terribly upset. I've never seen him so upset about it, yeah.
And they were fairly...
close.
Yeah.
They were close people. Yeah. Yeah. It was terrible. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because that was also the election, 2000, that Hillary won her Senate seat in New York. But yet Al Gore could not win the president. Or, well, it depends on which stance you take, I guess, and what happened in Florida in 2000.
Yes.
Which...
Was that the year that she ran?
I believe so.
Was it?
Yeah.
I you've lost me on that. I wasn't real sure. Yeah.
What does, because obviously I don't think she's going to run for anything else. What does her place in history end up being? She's a first lady. She's a senator during 9/11 mm-hmm. in New York.
Yeah, she's got a big place in history, and she should be proud of everything she accomplished. She was a good Secretary of State. And she helped Obama, I'm sure, a great deal.
Is she a positive figure in the are we going to look back on her positively, or is it going to be the lesser of two evils like we saw her the last election?
I don't know. I hope people think of her in a positive manner, because they should. I heard so many people say, I just can't stand her, I don't like her, and I never could understand that, but that's the way it was.
Well, we talked about that prior to the last election, how you had interactions with her, you knew who the real person was,
yeah.
But that's not how people see her.
No, it isn't, and I guess I saw her in a different light.
Who is, when you walk in a room with Hillary Clinton, which you have done, what is she like? What as a person?
She's friendly.
Friendly.
She's very friendly. Yes, Norman really liked her too. Yeah, he talked to her about some of the things that was happening to her. We have a picture of him talking to her, and she was absorbing, listening to him, and absorbing all of it. Yeah.
Now, Bill Clinton, what was he like to talk to?
He was terrific. I really liked Bill Clinton, and I was a little bit leery of him in the beginning, but I said if he's good enough for Al Gore, he's good enough for me.
Because originally you had supported Al Gore in that...
Mm-hmm. No, Al Gore in 88.
In 88.
Yeah, Al Gore didn't run in that year, but he when he was chosen vice president, that's when I joined up with that campaign.
Why do you think astronaut, longtime senator, certainly national figure, John Glenn could never get a presidential run off the ground very well?
Well, I don't know. I was very involved when he was running for president, and when that was 86, was it? Yeah, and when, or was it 90? Or no, I'm in the wrong year. It's 88 and 92. So it was in 88 when I supported Al Gore, and then in, and so it would have been in 84.
That Glenn
when
ran.
John Glenn ran,
yeah.
And so when This was very interesting. I had said I'm not going to support anybody in 88 in the primary. I was going to leave it. And then I went to Cleveland and listened to Al Gore give a speech. I said, he believes everything that I believe, and I'm going to go with him. So that's how it happened. It was an interesting time. Why John Glenn couldn't make it, it's just things don't turn the right way, whatever it is, whether it was the money. He was getting out quickly because he didn't want to owe any more money, you know, because you're spending money like crazy when you're involved in a presidential campaign. And that's the reason it's so amazing about Joe Biden, because he wasn't spending very much money. He had, I guess, only, I don't know how many offices open, but it wasn't very many. And think about that. And he won is because all of a sudden the party realizes that they got to have somebody to beat Trump, and it's him.
Is he going to have the Hillary Clinton problem, though, where the people who love Bernie Sanders will not support him?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because Bernie does not give up. He's one of those people that he just tries to hang on, and I don't know what will happen there. We'll just have to wait and see. But for the good of the party, they need to get together and join up and try to get along.
I wonder this time, because they always have ballot access, what the Libertarian and Green Party will do.
Yeah, right.
Because it seems like whoever they pick tends to hurt one or the other, the Democrat or the Republican.
Right. I remember I had a Libertarian run against me the first time I ran for state treasurer. His name was Brown, and that's a magic name in Ohio. And it's a spoiler. The third party person is a spoiler, and it's a shame.
Well, they had said last time that Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, who were those nominees, probably took more votes from Hillary than they did from Trump.
Right.
Which, I don't know who the nominees are going to be this time, but they always get ballot access, so whoever runs for them will do what they do.
Right.
Do you think that canceling all these sporting events right now, like we're doing, is the right thing to do?
Well, I tell you, people love their sports, and it's hard on people to give that up. I just saw where the guy that's with the Patriots, he just resigned, and what's his name? The quarterback.
I know. Oh, he's usually famous.
He resigned. I wonder if it had anything to do with the situation here.
It's interesting because the NBA wraps up in May. I don't know if they'll get their season back.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
The NCAA is gone.
It's going to have a tremendous effect on everything. I mean, we can't even imagine this total effect on all of this.
In the end, will it be more of a medical thing or a financial thing?
It's probably going to be both. I don't know which would be more, but finance probably would be more. Yeah.
I just wonder. It does seem like we've been in this forever, and this is only day six of this whole thing.
I know, and it feels like forever.
It does.
You know?
And I don't know really what government agencies are doing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're helping, but the government agencies that normally run, like the Job and Family Services and unemployment and all, what are they doing at this point?
Right.
It's got to be a tough time.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to be involved in this whole thing.
And, you know, the things that go on in local government, in county government, they're your whole lives. I mean, it's your marriage licenses, the probate court, your landowning, all of that takes place locally here in your county government, and it's overwhelming to think about everything that goes on.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but here in the next few weeks, what if you had a wedding planned?
You're right. Yeah.
What do you do?
That's right.
And I don't think you can have it.
Probably. It would be hard to, well, I don't know. It'll be interesting because there's going to be people who want to have weddings, you know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. May is a big wedding month.
Yeah, well, June. What about June?
June, absolutely. And apparently with July, we might still be in this. So who knows? Well, what are we going to do on July 4th? The fair.
Yeah, right. Nobody will go to the fair then.
No, no, no. You know, and I wonder, I've been thinking, if we're in this a long time, even if we're in this just until June, how is this going to change people's lives?
Yes.
As far as, are they always going to be suspicious from now on about being close to people? You know, people pick up strange things during odd times like this.
Well, I think once they get the vaccine, we'll all loosen up.
I hope so. I hope so.
I know I will.
Yeah, well, you know, and the vaccine could really speed this up.
Yes, that's right.
If you have a vaccine, it's going to make people feel better, and we're going to move on a little quicker than this.
Yeah, I bet they're frantically trying to get all these companies are trying to get a vaccine.
Yeah,
The one, I don't know what the name of the one that was testing yesterday gave that woman a vaccine shot, and she was saying how she was proud to be part of the
I think you would be.
Yeah.
At this point.
Right.
With everything that's going on. And I just think that whoever develops this vaccine, you know, they're going to be a popular person.
They're going to be making a lot of money.
They're going to be making a lot of money. Just like the toilet paper companies.
Yes, right,
right now.
They're probably working three shifts.
Holy moly. Somebody, that the sale, who would have ever thought this? The sale of toilet paper just in 5 days went up 2,000%.
Yeah, right.
This is what happened in America at this particular point.
Right.
I just hope that people calm down a little bit because the grocery stores are mobbed.
Yes.
And you've got to leave food for other people. Mm-hmm. You know, the grocery stores are going to stay open.
Yeah.
As far as I know, deliveries are still coming. But when people overbuy like that, it's tough.
They'll have enough toilet paper for the rest of the year, but
that's right. And then what happens to the whole thing as it goes down the line?
Yeah,
I don't know. I would think people's retirements are certainly at a worrisome point.
Yes, right.
And that's the financial aspect of this whole thing.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, when you were in office, did you ever think of what you wanted to do in retirement? Did you ever think, this is what I would like to do?
Well, we had the place in Florida, and I guess we thought we'd be going down there, but then Norman wasn't able to, no longer able to do that, so we sold our place. But that was pretty much, and then we were afraid to go out fishing because we were getting too old to go out fishing by ourselves. And so, you know, that fear takes over when you get older and you're afraid to do things that you thought you would normally want to be doing.
At what point in your life did you notice that you had to be cautious of your age?
Well, I guess when I started falling a lot, and really, I'm knocking on wood here, but I haven't fallen for a while, and I think it's the fact that I'm getting enough sleep and I'm eating properly, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
We talked about advice toward young people coming up. What advice do you have toward the senior population on how to stay active and lead a good life?
Yes, I think it's very important to try to plan ahead a little bit. I was very glad that I went to Primrose to for my senior years because there was entertainment there and food supplied, and I didn't have to worry about mowing the lawn and all of that. And if you can afford it, I think it's the thing to do. So many times people wait too long, and then they don't get to enjoy the facility that they're in, and it's a shame. And they think they want to go back to their home. They go there and think they'll be there just a short time, and they're going to go back to their home, and it never happens, or it hardly ever happens.
When you were coming back to Ohio 9 years ago, did you ever give any thought to going back to a home that you had lived in?
I couldn't go back to my home because it was just too much work. It was, I forget how many thousand square feet, and a huge yard, and I just couldn't begin to take care of that.
It becomes a thing at some point.
Yeah, it's right.
Now, when you lived in Maryland, was that a fairly easy home to take care of?
Yes. It had wood floors, and it was a small yard. And we loved living there. Norman belonged to three different watch clubs, and he was happy. And and the transportation, I mean, you had the metro, which is wonderful. And I just heard the other day that the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is going to build their manufacturing facility in Prince George's County, which is in Maryland, and they're going to keep the office people in Washington, but the manufacturing is going to take place in Prince George's. And that's kind of exciting to think about. And, all of life goes on.
You know, I forgot I wanted to bring this up. Did I read something recently where you had come out making a statement against something? Oh, what was this about? Somebody had brought it up to me the other day. Some kind of, was it a bond or a stock or something that you'd made a statement against recently?
No.
Oh, what in the world was I?
No, I'm on a committee for the for raising money for the historical the historical society for the treasury, and they're raising money for this bank that was Riggs Bank, and it's going to be the it's going to be the Hamilton Museum.
Well, maybe it was an older from the World Reserve Monetary Exchange. Was that something years ago?
That's something that I used to
do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you get out of office, what kind of people approach you about doing things?
Well, I signed a lot of money. That's what I did more than anything, I think, was signing money.
I know that you were always a proponent for the casinos in Ohio.
Yes, right.
What was the long battle with that went on for years?
Well, they couldn't get it passed, and they came to me and asked me to campaign for it, and when I was state treasurer, I realized how much money Ohio was losing because we didn't have a casino here. And so that's the reason I supported it. I know the churches were all against it, but people are going to gamble. I don't care what you say. There's a certain percentage that are going to go out and gamble, and they're going to go to other states, and they're going to get the money. So there you are.
What do you think finally put it over the top in Ohio?
I think I had a lot to do with it.
I think so.
The those groups, the focus groups that they had, it was my campaign that they were off the charts.
What we know that the two big things that you did outside of your own elections that I remember were for the casinos,
mm-hmm.
campaigning for the casinos, And there was a treasurer at one point who you were not particularly fond of that you campaigned against. You campaigned for the opposite person. And that I still remember that ad where you said the person's name and you said they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yes, right.
That was a strong ad.
I know you seem to think that was very strong. And he should have been ashamed of himself.
I think a lot of people felt that way, but I think I guess I'd never seen you in an ad that way.
Yeah.
That made it strong.
Right.
Did you have any second thought? Does somebody write those, or do you say, okay, I'll do that, I won't do that?
Well, it's usually written by somebody else, but you don't do it unless you agree with it.
And you were okay with that?
Yes,
one altogether?
Yes, right.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He's disappeared.
He has disappeared.
Yeah, right.
What do you think of the Ohio Treasurer's Office now? Do you have any thing to say about it?
No, I don't know what's going on at all. I can't speak to that at all.
Do you think that, what was your main goal as treasurer of the state of Ohio?
Well, my main goal was to make a difference, to have good programs that help the people of Ohio. And I did. I had a linked deposit program in my first term for both small business and agriculture. And we invested $614.4 million in over 2,000 small businesses. And a lot of those were women's businesses that couldn't get the money without my program. And then we invested $914 million in agriculture, which was a big help to the farmers here. And we had 14 other states that copied that idea. And then in the second term, I created Star Ohio, where I invested the local government money. It was a big help. Even the county, the library here, still invests in Star Ohio. Both of those programs are still on the books. And then in the third term, they were still, we had this infrastructure bond issuance, and we had used the college savings plan for that, where we invested $100 million in of the college savings bonds in the infrastructure bill. And so all of those things, and I made over $2 billion for the state of Ohio. Yeah.
And at one point, they wanted you to run for governor.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And I was thinking about it, and then I became U.S. Treasurer. Yeah.
And that worked out okay.
That was really great. Yeah. Yeah.
For people who don't know, what is the job? Because there's always a distinction between Secretary of Treasury mm-hmm. and Treasurer of the United States.
Yes.
What is the job description for Treasurer of the United States?
Treasurer of the United States has changed over the years, but ever since Reagan, it has been where you have oversight of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the Mints, and that's all the locations of where they're located. And the secretary is over all of the bureaus in Treasury, which is, you know, the IRS. And then a lot of those bureaus went to Homeland Security after I left. That was during George Bush's administration. And it changed. Even the Secret Service are under Homeland Security, but they'd like to come back. And I don't know if that'll happen or not, but they were over the counterfeiting, and I think they kind of wished they were back in Treasury. But the Secretary of the Treasury has a lot more importance than the Treasurer. I was just over two bureaus, and the Secretary is over everything in Treasury, and they have a tremendous responsibility. I worked for three different secretaries. Lloyd Benson was from the Senate. He was from Texas. And Bob Rubin was from Wall Street, from Goldman Sachs. And Larry Summers was from, he actually had been in Treasury. He had two uncles that had won the Nobel Peace Prize. They were all tremendously interesting people. They had different management styles, and I always like to study management styles, and so I made a real study of all the way they operated, and actually, you know, you can't learn enough in this world. There's so much to learn, and I always tried to learn as much as I could wherever I was, and when I had a little extra time, I would go visit other offices and try to meet more people. I said, you know, you just don't have this opportunity ordinarily. I want to make the most of it. And a lot of times I would go to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and sign money, and I'd meet all the people that were there, from a lot of them from other countries. And it was a fascinating job.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Obviously, 2020 is an election year, and obviously you've endorsed Mike Larson, and I think some of the local Democrats as well as at this point.
Yeah. Well, I'm supporting the local Democrats, yes. I don't think most of them have a primary.
Would you, in this year being a presidential year in Ohio, always being pivotal, if he gets it, if the Biden campaign would ask you to do something, would you do it?
Sure. Yeah. But I'm, you know, I don't know how much I could do, but yes, I'm always willing to help any campaign.
I remember when, I think it was for, must have been for Obama, when Bill Clinton came to town, you came out and led the Pledge of Allegiance. What was that like to be?
No, that was, Joe Biden.
Oh, that was Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that was a big day, and yeah.
What kind of guy, you know him, what kind of guy is Joe Biden?
You know, in 88, I sat in the back seat of a automobile, and he interviewed me, and I interviewed him. And then I've listened to him make speeches at different places. He was terrific as far as his speech making. And I remember this one speech at our State Treasurers Association was meeting. I can't remember where we were, but it was, I think it was in New York State somewhere. And he gave a speech that I just thought was fabulous. And, he's a very, I think, a very trustworthy person. Has a very good attitude toward life, and he's got a wife that's, I think, tremendous as well. She's in education, and she would be a big help to him. And I think all of that you need to look at is the whole situation before you vote for somebody.
Did you ever have any interaction with Bernie Sanders?
No, I haven't. I never met Bernie, and I've watched him over the years with his campaigns. He's a hard campaigner.
He is. Yeah. What do you make of the young people liking him so much?
Well, they like him for the reasons of what he stands for, but I don't think he can accomplish what he says he's going to. I just don't see how the House and the Senate would vote all of that in, because it's so expensive. And, you know, you're talking trillions, and I just don't see it happening.
Do want to remind the listening audience that the Adam the Computer Guy show will be on today 2 to 3, and Voice of the People with Linda Sims will be on 4 until 5, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker will be on 5 until 6. And this was to be primary day, but do not go out and vote, because it has been moved to June the 2nd at this point. But keep an eye on that, because
they can vote today. They said it's open.
Oh, they can vote.
They can, you know, absentee vote.
Absentee vote.
Yes, at the courthouse.
And I think they can probably do
not
that.
Not the courthouse, but the county building.
At the county building. I think they can probably do that up through when we do the public vote.
Yes, I think that would be the case. Yeah, we want to tell them they can still
go to the Board of Elections and take care of that. And that's in the county building here in town. And you can vote early and do absentee and do all those sort of things. So voting still is going on. But we will have a day where the polls are set up. We just think it will be in June now, maybe. We'll let you know between now and then. And who knows what will happen today. But regardless, we'll be back tomorrow morning. But I can't thank Mary Ellen for coming in. It's always a pleasure, Mary Ellen.
Oh, it is. I totally enjoy it. Yes.
It blows right by.
Yes.
Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States. And we also thank Rich Cordray for coming on today, I believe, in his first interview since not becoming governor of the state of Ohio. But his new book, Watchdog, is out there on the shelves. Stay tuned to WWGH Radio for much more.
Are proud to present Magnificent Marian Moments. Eber Baker and Alexander Holmes established the town in 1870 people resided.